Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. I'm really excited to welcome back to our program today, Michelle Gable. She's the best-selling author of the book, I'll See You in Paris. It's a new book that actually came out this year that I think is not only a great story, but also, I think, a great adventure for all of us who love to be able to look back at history, to look at the things that kind of connected to those in the past, as well as, of course, how we became the person that we are. It was exciting to speak with Michelle with her first book, A Paris Apartment. We'll talk to her not only about the success of that, but also, of course, what it's been like for her to hear from all of you about the books and what it's been like for you to also see how these characters have kind of all came to life. If you're just now hearing about Michelle, we'll tell you a little bit later how you can get this book for yourself. But, Michelle, hello to you, and welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much for having me back.
Hey, the pleasure's definitely all mine. You know, you have been very busy, of course, since the last time you and I spoke with a Paris Apartment. And then, of course, now with the newest book, I'll See You in Paris. I mean, definitely you've once again been able to create these characters, I think, that readers fall in love with, Michelle. I mean, what has this journey been like for you to not only to have enjoyed writing these books, but also to see the overwhelming response to them?
Yeah, it's amazing whenever I get, and that's been the most unexpected part of this whole publishing process. It's something I've been working at since I was 10 years old. I first started writing, and my first book came out just shy of turning 40, so it's something I've been doing my whole life. And I just didn't really expect the response, or just, I mean, I get emails from people that say, oh my gosh, you know, your book inspired me to take a trip or reach out to my mother, or it helped me get into, you know, it helped me get through a difficult hospital stay or things like that, and it's so overwhelmingly gratifying when I get emails like that.
Yeah. You know, I remember when we first spoke, of course, with a Paris Apartment. I mean, the characters, I think, really came to life in that, you know, in that book, as well as, of course, how Paris really was a character of itself. We see the same thing in I'll See You in Paris, you know, how you're able to bring these amazing characters to life. Is that also been one of the gratifying things, Michelle, is that these characters that you have come to love yourself, to know that other people love them too?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, when people connect with one of my characters, it's so great. I love hearing stories about what way they connected, or you know which character really they identified with, even which characters you know made them mad. That's fun to hear as well.
Yeah. I think, you know, I mentioned to you one of the things I wanted to talk about for sure was the dynamics, you know, that you're able to create with the characters. And I love the fact that with Annie and Annie's mother, you know, you're able to kind of get to know, you know, what people will do, of course, for those that they love. Then, of course, the extents that people will go to be able to have something in life. I think that is what also makes it so fun. But also, you know, you make us interested in things of the past again. And it really shows, you know, the relevance of things for us. I mean, you have been, you know, had your own fascination with different things you've seen and heard. I mean, do you think also that's been part of this enjoyment, Michelle, for you, is that you're able to not only create these characters, but also give us a window into how our past really can have an impact on who we are today.
You're absolutely right. And I mean, one of my favorite things about writing, if not my favorite thing, is the research and delving into another world and another time period. And as you said, kind of how that influences us today. And I'll See You in Paris, a big chunk of it takes place in the waning years of the Vietnam War. And then there's another chunk that takes place right after 9/11. So how our views of war have changed, servicemen and things like that. Was one of many avenues. And I love when I read something that has me Googling, and I hope that, you know, my book has people Googling and looking things up and considering, you know, different time periods that maybe they haven't thought of before.
Yeah. There's also some amazing lessons that come across in the book. One of my favorite lines takes place in chapter 41 where, you know, in talking about, you know, of course, happiness and marriage, how the two are not always hand in hand. One of the things that is said in the book is, you know, when it comes to that whole thing, Laurel says, a marriage is not adulthood, and it is not security. In fact, a crappy marriage is the most insecure place in the world. I think, you know, those lines like that, I mean, and there are many of them throughout the book that kind of make you say, that's something that, you know, I can think about, or that's something that I've maybe said to someone. You know, I think those are the things, too. It's part of this, too, showing that regardless of the time period that something may take place in, that at the end of the day, we all are just human, and we all are going through these experiences, you know, that makes us kind of interconnected with one another.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things I'd heard somebody say once, and it was an athlete, when he got traded to another team, but it was just funny, he said, you know, we just all want to be loved. And it was related to sports, but it's very true. And no matter the time period or your station in life or, you know, what you're doing or where you're going, and that's very much part of it. You know, you want to feel loved, and sure, you want to have a home. And that idea of home is, again, a big theme in my novel.
Right. I think that is so true. And I think, you know, that love is something that all of us can relate to. For those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're excited to welcome back to our program today Michelle Gable. She's the author of the new book, I'll See You in Paris, of course. She also is the author of the bestseller, A Paris Apartment. You know, it's right there on the front of the new book. Michelle, but have you gotten used to now knowing that you are a best-selling author?
No, it's so strange to me. And recently, a couple weeks ago or a month ago, you know, it also hit the New York Times bestseller list, the Paris Apartment did, and the USA Today. And it's still so weird to me. It still seems weird that people I don't know, who haven't heard of the book through my parents or through my friends, you know, go out and buy the book or look at the book or know about it even. So I still have it sunken in, you know, even almost 2 years since the book first came out.
Right, exactly. So let's go back a little bit, Michelle. We're going to come back to I'll See You in Paris, but you mentioned at the beginning of this conversation, you know, getting here. I think a lot of times people don't realize, of course, that not only the persistence that's necessary in any industry, but, of course, exactly the publishing world, but also, you know, the belief in oneself and the characters. I mean, did you just know with the Paris Apartment that these were characters that you believed would resonate with people if readers had a chance to be able to meet them?
Yeah, and I felt that way with, you know, I've lost track, maybe 6 or 7 books that I've written before that didn't sell. And I've always felt that, you know, I have written characters that hopefully people would connect with. Of course, as you said, it's a matter of getting it out there and what publishers have a taste for, what the trend is, or, you know, that varies over time. So A Paris Apartment is very much like the other books I wrote where I just wrote the book that I wanted to write and hoped that a publisher would acquire it. So it wasn't, you know, in no way was I thinking, okay, well, this is the book that's finally going to get me a contract and get out there in the world. I certainly hoped that was the case, and I put everything into it as if that would be the case, but, you know, I still was very, I guess, you know, I'd been burned before, and so I kind of had those sort of expectations of, you know, who knows what's really going to happen, but, so I didn't necessarily know that this would be the book.
Yeah. Yeah. And not only, you know, was it, you know, that book, I think it made us, because even I remember saying when we spoke last time, you know, excited about about what was to come, that, you know, that can sometimes be an exciting thing, I guess. Also, I guess in some ways can be a nerve-wracking thing because, you know, when something becomes so successful, you know, there are always those questions of, okay, you know, what is going to come next? I mean, and, you know, that, of course,
right.
is a question that the author has to ask themselves as well. I mean, you know, I think for this book to have come out when it did, and for those who are listening to us live, the book hasn't even been out a month yet. Already, of course, the reviews are starting to come in for it. And, you know, I mean, already, you know, on Amazon.com, you're in the top 100 list. I mean, that has to be an amazing feeling, Michelle, that people were not only excited about this new book, but also excited to see where you're going to take them next.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I definitely was concerned. I know it's a better book, and I know it's richer and has better characters because I've, you know, grown as a writer, and you continue to grow as you would in any industry. But you just don't know. You know, people are so connected with the Paris Apartment and the characters in that, and sometimes you just don't know what that right formula is that makes connect with characters. So I definitely was concerned, like, okay, well, people so love that book way more than I expected them to. And though I know this is a better book, you know, in theory, but you really can't predict what people are going to connect with. So maybe you know, so I've been happy to see that people have liked it. I love when I read a review that says better than a Paris Affirmant. That makes me happy because I just want to get better with each book, you know, a little better with each book.
Right, exactly. I mentioned the relationship, the dynamics between Annie and her mother and the great conversations, you know, that you were able to kind of, you know, pick up from there. I mean, what was that like for you to kind of create these dynamics, again, that were taking place with these characters in their own time, but as for readers, maybe very rich and maybe very present for them where they are?
Yeah, so I wanted to more explore mother-daughter relationship in this book, because in A Paris Affirmant, that's very much absent, and that's sort of a defining characteristic of one of the characters in A Paris Affirmant. But it's funny, because somebody at a book signing asked me, you know, Annie's a young girl, she's just out of college, moving back home, she doesn't have any professional prospects, and then she gets engaged to a young man she's just met, and her mother is not happy about it. So I actually had somebody at a book signing say, oh, don't you think Laurel's a little harsh with Annie and her, you know, her decision to get married, and I just laugh because I have two daughters. I mean, they're much younger, but I'm like, oh no, I think Laurel's nicer than I would be if my daughters announced they were getting married after knowing a guy, you know, she met in a bar and getting married after a few weeks.
Right. What a great thing. You know, I smiled to myself as I was reading one of the chapters, chapter 32, because the wording that you use, because part of this, just as Paris is a character, you know, another character in this book is a book. And one of the things that you wrote that I thought was so funny was, how could a book drive her so thoroughly insane? An old tale that was probably more fiction than fact. I mean, and I thought when I was reading that initially, you know, how funny it is, because that's exactly what happens for some of us crazy readers out there. We become invested in these books. I mean, but now it's your book, Michelle. It's your book that's driving us insane. I mean, when you mentioned, of course, the book signing, what has that experience been like for you to hear people talk about these characters like they're real to them?
It's so great. I love hearing people's questions. I mean, that's the great thing about going on book tour is I love hearing questions, hearing people's reactions, what people thought about characters, how it made them feel. And as you said, I've definitely read books that have driven me insane, you know, in good ways,
right.
That you get so consumed with. And that's such a great thing about being a reader and being a writer. You know, I think to be a writer, you have to be a reader first. So
right.
Hopefully people are, you know, I love if somebody tweets at me, oh my gosh, I'm obsessed with your book. I can't, you know, can't put it down. I can't get it out of my head. I can't escape from it. It's just, that makes me so happy.
Right. You mentioned a book signing as well, and you've been doing those since the book, I mean, literally came out, and you'll be on the road literally crisscrossing this country, being able to meet readers. I mean, is that also part of that? You know, I'm always curious about the rewards, the little things that really stick with, you know, my guests. I mean, it has to be amazing for you, Michelle, to have people want to not only read your book, but then to come out and meet you, to be able to have the pictures taken, and then to get that signature. I mean, is that kind of part of the icing on the cake of this whole process?
Yes, it just still makes me laugh, because I'm like, okay, yeah, we can get a picture. Like, I'd love to, you know, you just don't think of yourself that way. And then meeting the booksellers across the U.S., you know, I'm such an avid reader. I love books. I don't do e-reader. I do, you know, real books. And I love bookstores. And so to go to all these different bookstores that I normally wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't go to a bookstore in South Carolina, or, you know, I wouldn't happen to be in that area. And so it's just so cool to meet these booksellers. And you know, I think the booksellers are a big reason that the first book did well, because they really hand-sold the book, told people, versus going online or going into a bigger, you know, a Barnes & Noble or something, and you see people, and I've witnessed it myself, you see people walk into a small bookstore, an indie bookstore, and say, what's good? Tell me what to read. And so they have a lot of influence. They're curating these books, right, for people.
Exactly. And I think that is, you know, such an amazing thing. And I'm like you, Michelle, I'm a big advocate for actual books. You know, I understand for whatever reason, when people are traveling and that kind of thing, they do the Audible thing. And for me, I can concentrate better when I'm holding the book in my hand, being able to have that connection with it for sure, especially for conversations like this, where I'm able to make notes easily and then, of course, to be able to go to where I want to go to. You know, I have to say, you know, I when I talk to authors, I'm always so excited because I know the work that goes into it. But I also realize as a reader that you, and you would appreciate this as well, that when we get into something, we get so invested in it. It takes you guys maybe a year or so for the book to come out. It takes us, if we're taking our time, maybe a week to be able to read a book. And then our question is always the what's next. I think the funny thing, what I thought about with your segment, Michelle, is that we think about that with these characters too. We, you know, I know that, you know, every character has their own journey, their own arc. You know, do you find yourself even wondering when you finish a book like I'll See You in Paris, if their story has been fully told, and if there's someone that you would want to get to know more and to explore more?
Generally, no, because I don't tend to read series, so I don't think I tend to want to write in the series. That said, you know, I finished my third book, and it's edited mostly. We still do copy edits and that kind of thing, and it's not next year. And some of those characters have still kind of stuck with me, so they might be some people I want to revisit at some point. But that was really the first time, because usually I just have another idea or a completely different time period or area or something else I want to explore and look at.
Yeah. Yeah, what a great thing. Well, something for us to be able to look forward to. For one, we know there's going to be more books from Michelle, but also, of course, there'll be more exciting characters for us to be able to read about as well. You know, I think the other thing that you've been able to do is you've been able to give people hope, Michelle, for those out there who, you know, have been writing for some time, who may not have seen the payoff that they want. I think your personal story that even you've shared here on our program is inspiring to them. I mean, that has to be another layer of this thing. You find the avid reader, but also those who want to know, how did you do it? I mean, has it kind of sunk in on that level that you are an example for others as to why you don't want to give up on your gift, you don't want to give up on your goal or dream, whatever it may be, or may, no matter how long it may take?
Yeah, I meet a lot of readers who are also aspiring writers as well, and I've had many people come and say to me, you know, I was about to give up, and you've inspired me to keep going, and I mean, that's awesome. If you can just keep, you know, I think that's the biggest difference between, a lot of people say they want to write a book. So, A, you've got to write the book, finish the book, and I think that's a big difference. Anybody that can write a full book and finish it and write the end, I think is worthy of admiration, because it's easy to have ideas and it's easy to get a few chapters written, but it's really hard to finish a book. And then just to stick with it, like that persistence, and I think the big difference a lot of times between published writers and non-published is just that never quitting, the not getting down by rejection, the perseverance. And you know, I hope it's also an example to my daughters that, you know, you whatever path they choose, that you just don't give up, and you can have rejection, and you can have constant years of it, where, you know, you just don't see how you're ever going to get over this hump. But if you just truly believe and you keep working and you keep getting better, you know, you're not just knocking on the same door, but you're knocking on different doors, you're trying new things, you're growing. So I do think my story, and that's why, you know, at all my signings and speaking engagements, I always tell my story, because, you know, I think a lot of people say, oh, look, it was her debut novel and it became a New York Times bestseller. Oh, wow, that's like, you know, how lucky, and wow, she just, like, wrote a book and it came out and it was a bestseller. Yeah, you know, and it wasn't quite that. And even though sometimes it feels very fast to me, I mean, I even have to remind myself sometimes, like, okay, I worked on this for 30 years. Like, let me look at all the rejections. And it's even funny, too. My agent will have people calling her now, editors at other publishers, saying, how come you never gave me a shot at Michelle Gable? How come you never let me try to do, you know? And she's like, you want me to show you all the rejection emails you sent me? Because you've rejected the work, including, you know, a Paris apartment. So it's just kind of funny in that. So hopefully it is an example, and hopefully it inspires not just my kids, but, you know, other adults, other, you know, you know, I worked hard and I kept with it, and I let rejections roll off my back, and I just kept trying to get better, because it was something I loved and something I believed in. And, you know, so hopefully people take that as an example as well.
Yeah, I think that is an amazing thing, and I'm so glad that you were able to share that, Michelle, because it does give people hope. It gives them an opportunity to know what is possible for them. And I think the main thing is to never stop believing in oneself. That's another thing I think that Annie realizes, you know, and realizing yes. that your goal, your dream, and your vision is yours, and that you should never let anyone take that away from you or allow other people even to push theirs on you. And I think that that is the other thing that all of us have to be able to struggle with. Again, everyone, Michelle Gable has been our guest today. Great conversation, as I knew it would be, Michelle. The new book is I'll See You in Paris. It's available now, of course, through your favorite online retailer or through your favorite bookstores we were talking about. If your favorite bookstore doesn't have it, you can always ask them to get it for you. They'll be glad to do that. And, Michelle, how can our audience stay connected with you and keep up with what's coming up next for you?
Yep. So my website is michellegable.com, and it's Michelle with two L's, G-A-B-L-E. And I'm also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, so all those pretty easy to find.
All right. Michelle, thank you so much for the time. I know this is a crazy busy time for you as you are going literally from coast to coast, but we do appreciate the time and looking forward to our next conversation together.
Okay, thank you so much. It was great to be here.
Hey, the pleasure's definitely all mine, Michelle. And we thank your audience for joining us for another great segment of Conversations Live. If you all came in late and missed part of the conversation with Michelle, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media friends. So head over to Facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to Twitter.com/CyrusWeb. Click on the link there. You can listen to the show completely for free and share it with your friends from there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.